probably one of the most astounding things we experienced while we were in California. And by the way, thanks for praying for us. We had a great trip, and we experienced both sides of the spectrum of those that were saved and those that were lost. But out there, we heard the familiar story that we hear so often, and that's why people can't live the Christian life and why they defect and go in a very shameful way. You know, before I left to go on the trip, I had a man come to the office, and he was just trying to convince me of all the reasons why he had to divorce his wife. He just had to do it. He just couldn't take her anymore. Well, are you a Christian? Well, yes, I'm a Christian. I know that if I were to die, I'd go to heaven. So my question to him and to all people who make these stories is, what's wrong with Jesus? And why isn't there sufficiency in Jesus and his grace for you? And so we were in California. We heard the same story, the story of a woman who left Indiana, left three children behind and her husband. Granted, her husband had had multiple affairs, and she had caught him on the credit cards while he was in a different country that charged the fares there to the credit card, and she found it and so forth. So he was very unfaithful, multiple affairs, hooked on pornography. And her mother and dad had had a miserable marriage. And so she was just determined, I'm not going to be like my mother. I'm not going to have a miserable marriage. You know, how many times all of a sudden we build a foundation in the wrong place by saying, I'm not going to be like my mother. I'm not going to be like my dad. Instead of like Micah said to us, I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to say yes to him. And so here's the story. And my husband's unfaithful. I'm not going to be sad like my mom. And so I'm going to leave everything behind, and I'm going to go to Hollywood, and I'm going to make a career in the movies and in Hollywood. And so she's there just kind of going from pillar to post, and we're talking to her, trying to help her understand. And she's had a Catholic background. You know, she was brought up in that, and then she went to the Baptist, and then she went to the Christian church is what she would say. But nevertheless, she's still saying, I'm not going to be strapped in to that Christian way because I'm just not going to be like my mother. And my question to her is always, as it would be to anybody, any of you, anybody in here who's making these excuses, my question is, where's grace and where's the sufficiency of Jesus to do the right thing? And truly, guys, truly, 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 we trade in our sickness, we trade in our shame, we trade in our pain for the glory that comes through a relationship depending on the sufficiency of Christ. This year, probably my passion for 2017, and I think I joined Brother Andy and Mike, and that is to preach Jesus in such a way that everybody who comes here will know that he is sufficient. And we're just going to bring that home. That's the song was chosen basically at my request, saying we want our whole church all year long to just do one thing. And that would be, say yes, Lord. Now that theme is going to go on a banner and it's going to go up here probably long lines of end of February or something like that as we approach our mission conference. But the success in the Christian life is just saying yes to him every day, one decision at a time. So if you're in a situation that's very difficult, you know, that's just almost impossible to live in, if you're in that situation, you need to find where Jesus is in that situation and get there and say yes to him. And so all year long, we're just going to talk about saying yes to the Lord. And I want to say to you guys up there, the crew gang, you're coming up in the Lord. Some of you have been nurtured up in a Christian family. You've been taught the Bible. I just want to tell you that Jesus Christ is sufficient, but sometimes it's difficult to get there. And you have to bear down, die to yourself, and allow, like Mike said, allow Jesus to completely replace us. Instead of being selfish and wanting our own way, it's just laying it all down so that we might have the very joy of the Lord. Truly, the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's my passion. I'm going to do everything I can this year to help you find sufficiency in Christ. With that being said, we're going to enter into this message today that I prepared a month ago. And so I had to get up and review it this morning just to figure out what I'm going to say. Kidding, kidding. And so anyway, I did prepare it a month ago because I was going to give this on December the 18th, and we got snowed out that day. And this was going to be our pre-Christmas message that God laid on my heart to give to you. Now, you will find in your bulletin that there are no notes, But you will be handed, when you get done today, you'll be handed this little booklet, and there are about four pages to it. Because I just basically, honestly, just gut level honest, I didn't want you reading ahead. And there's 27 points. And so if you want to go now, go ahead. But we'll be done. I'm only going to take about 30 seconds on each point. But there'll be a booklet that you'll get that will have all the points in it. So if you're saying, I want to scribble some of these down, you know, they will be made available to you at the end of the service. And so what we want to create today in this particular setting is maybe something like you experienced over the holiday with your family, where you got all the kids around and you're going to take turns. In our family, we start with the youngest and go to the oldest, which is always me now. But to start with the youngest and go to the oldest and unwrap these packages, and the child or whoever's opened them enjoys the package, and we all enjoy it with them. And so how many of you kind of do that kind of thing? Do you do that at your house, you know, where you unwrap and you just kind of enjoy? And how many have had the sad experience of having a gift that you just really thought hard about and maybe paid a lot for? And maybe it wasn't really, really expensive, but it was special. You created it or had a desire. Maybe you made it. And to give it to a person and then have them have less than best reaction of thanksgiving for your gift. Has anybody ever experienced that? Okay, nobody but me. All right. So, but seriously, those who love to give, they love to bless a person that they're giving, and they maybe give a lot of thought to what we're going to give. And then to see a kind of a just a bland response to that gift, it can be really, really discouraging. So today, we don't want to discourage God. We want to bless God. We want to look right at God and say, thank you so much. We want to just take time today to open up the gift of salvation. And so we went through this process of starting with a very small part, and then it just unfolds and unfolds and unfolds. And I tell you how we're going to do it. Like I said, there's 27 points, and they're going to be if-then statements. And so we're going to have an if statement, and if that's true, then this is true. And when we're just going to stop, because you only have it on the screen, you won't have it on your paper, we're just going to stop at that moment and look at it. We're God's family, we're a church family. If those who have believed in Jesus as your Savior, this gift is your gift. This is all of our gift, and so we're just going to stop. And you know what would really be fun? It would really be fun if somebody from the audience said, wow, when you saw that up there. Or say, I like that, you know, and then maybe you could say, I can't believe that's true, you know, or stuff. But if we could actually talk out loud and respond to these gifts as I unfold them here from Scripture. Now, please understand, it's like a snowflake. When you get your little booklet on the very front, it has a snowflake. And what I decided after 27 of these, I just stopped. I said I could go on and on. And I want to say this one little part before we start unwrapping this gift. As I started from one thing, it went to another, and then that thing went to another, and then that thing went to another, and another, 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 and then I could take every one of those, and I could start, and it's just like this. I was just thrilled, really, personally thrilled, to see the unfolding, magnificent grace and the panorama view of Jesus. This church needs to be in love with Jesus. And we need to stay in love with Jesus. There's a whole lot of stuff that maybe you could be discouraged with about an organized church. But if you really look at Jesus, you can never be discouraged with Him. And so I found this to kind of be an infinite unveiling of Jesus. And I pray that it'll be a blessing. Let's have fun with this, okay? Let's pray, and then we'll look at some Scripture. Father in heaven, it's just my privilege to have ended 2016 and now start 2017 with my church family. It's a privilege to be able to take these scriptures and see how this amazing gift unfolds. I pray that you will give us some great moments in your presence today. Jesus, we want you here. We want your presence to be obvious here. And please, would you take charge of each one of our hearts and allow us to slow down and indulge ourselves in this magnificent, unspeakable gift. And Lord, in the same way that maybe we would sit down to a delicious meal and savor every bite, I pray as we have a few bites this morning, that we would savor them, that we would bring them to our hearts. And I pray for every person at every age that we would see that we truly are very, very rich in Jesus. Bless, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 1. You know, when I gave that illustration about the lady that left home, her husband, who had been unfaithful, and her husband, who had been addicted to pornography, he never went back to church either. And he never didn't do well with his family because every time he looked at his wife, he felt guilty. And every time he came into the presence of the church, he felt condemned. How many know that's a dead-end street? You know, every time you look at your wife, you feel guilty, and every time you come into the presence of the church, you feel condemned. Not that anybody's trying to condemn. It's just the way you feel. So I want to say for us, please, family, let's learn that we can repent and believe and find full healing and deliverance and victory in Christ no matter where we've been. He can overcome all of our addictions. He can overcome all of our guilt. He can overcome all of those things that need to be healed when we really massage and practice His presence through Scripture. So we don't want anybody to feel that way. And that's why this gift is being unfolded today for us to look at, because you're going to be able to see at least some of the things that we have in Christ. So we're in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken to the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife, and he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. So here's what we have in verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. So let's begin. And we call this message, call him Jesus and remain speechless. When we get done with this, you know, we end up in like 2 Corinthians 9:15, where Paul said, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And there's a sense in which I would like for us to become speechless today as we look at all that we have in Jesus, just kind of say, wow, that's almost like it's too good to be true. But the truth is, it isn't. It's all in Scripture because of who He is. So we start like this, and we're going to do these one at a time. That's what will be on the screen. So here we go. If I were to say to you, Jesus will save you from your sins, most people will say, yeah, that's right. Jesus saves us from our sins. No big deal. This is not a big deal that Jesus saves us from our sins. Anybody who goes to church know that Jesus saves us from our sins. In fact, we were in a restaurant at one particular point, and I was with this person. We were with some folks there, and I said to them, I said, I want to create a safe place for you right here. And would you please tell me what you think? Would you please tell me what you think I believe? And you know what? Those folks from Hollywood, they told me exactly what I believed. And they understood that I believed that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that we could have our sins forgiven. So you could look at that and you could say, well, this is not a big deal. But let's look at these. Ready? Read them out loud with me. Ready? If I am saved from my sin, then God is no longer offended at me. Do you know that if you have believed in Jesus as your Savior, God is no longer offended at you? So if you're living today with the idea that God's offended at me, you need to lay that idea down. Because if you believed in Him fully as your Lord and Savior, you're saying yes to Him, then God is no longer offended at you. Romans 4:25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So God is not only no longer offended at you, but He has justified you and He has called you righteous. Okay, all together now, let's say wow. Wow, okay? That's a big deal. We're going to see. Let's look at the next one. If God is no longer offended at me, then I am at peace with God. Do you feel at peace with God? The Bible says you are. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So if God is no longer offended at me, then I'm at peace with God. That's part of the gift. I'm at peace with God. If I'm at peace with God, then God's wrath is no longer abiding on me. That's a big deal. Do you understand that people who are not at peace with God, God's wrath is abiding on them all the time, every day? And it's just a matter of whenever the shoe drops, whenever death comes, and all of a sudden that wrath becomes a very real experience. Brother Andy was talking about Sharon Huxford, and we were in to see her a couple days ago. And I knelt down by her chair, and he was 100% right. She's extremely weak. But I knelt down by her chair, and I was just whispering to her and trying not to take any energy from her at all, but just bless her. And I told her again and again, we love you so much. And Sharon's been a super example to us in many ways. And then I said, you're going to go home soon. And she said, yes. And I said, are you okay with that? She said, oh, yes. And yet it was like a fullness in her yes, because Sharon's not afraid to die because she knows that the wrath of God no longer abides on her. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe / obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Friend, if you're in this room and you have not believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, then the wrath of God is abiding on you. If you have believed, then His wrath is no longer abiding on you. If God's wrath is no longer abiding on me, then guess what? My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. I just love the story of when Jesus had His disciples and sent them out, and they did all these wonderful works, and they were able to cast out devils, and they came back and they were so excited, and they talked to Him and said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us. And Jesus said to him, hey, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Don't rejoice because the demons are subject to you, but rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Friend, if you have believed in Jesus, God's wrath is no longer abiding on you, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then I will not be cast into the lake of fire. Can anybody there say amen? I'm glad of that. Isn't that good? Revelation 20, verse 15 says, and whosoever his name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's going to be a day when people who do not know Jesus, whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, will be cast into the lake of fire. And you know what I'm doing for this year? For 2017, I'm asking the Lord to give me a heart vision of what it will be like for my friends and family and anybody that I know to be cast in the lake of fire, what that scene will look like when they are actually cast at that moment into the lake of fire, never ever to return. I want to feel that in my heart. I want to see that in my spirit. I want that to inform my life as to how I live. But the joy is that if your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will never ever be cast into the lake of fire. That's part of your gift. And if I will not be cast into the lake of fire, then I am born again unto a living hope. I have a reason to live. And 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says that we are born again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And probably one of the greatest joys in my life, kids, one of my greatest joys is to be able to have a purpose to live. And I can tell you it wouldn't matter. I've worked in factories. I've worked in feed mills. I've driven tractor trailer. It doesn't matter what my job has been. Ever since I've been saved, I've felt like there is a living hope for me. There is a purpose for my life that I can live every day. And so if I'm not going to be cast in the lake of fire, then the good news is I'm born again to a living hope. And if I'm born again to a living hope, then I have an incorruptible inheritance reserved in heaven for me. That's true, according to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. How many have ever gotten inheritance from a family of any kind? Just some kind of, you were included in the will. Can I see your hand? Okay, several of us. Well, unfortunately, both sides of our family spent it all. And so, as far as I know, there'll be no inheritance from anybody. In fact, I'm the oldest in the family, so I know that if it hasn't come, it's not going to come. But I just like to think about that. There is this amazing inheritance that comes. And for those of us who are children of God, God has an inheritance reserved for us. And you know what? That moves me to do stuff, to send it on ahead, whether I'm giving money or whether I'm spending time or whether I'm taking time with people, whether I'm working in Awana or whether I'm preaching sermons here or whether I'm traveling to encourage a pastor. I love to think about sending it on ahead and investing in the future because there is an inheritance, an amazing inheritance for those who know Jesus. If I have an incorruptible inheritance reserved for me, then I am kept forever by the power of God. Is there anybody in here besides me that has ever worried about losing your salvation or not being saved? Has anyone ever doubted your salvation in this room besides me? Okay, sure. And so, you know, the wonderful thing is that if we really believe in Jesus as our Savior, we don't keep Him. He keeps us. We are reserved by the power of God. And we have to rest in that. And you know what we're doing here, guys? It's like sometimes in the past, I've had a gift that I've fixed up, and it has a big box like this. And then as you open that box, there's several other boxes inside, and you open up that, and you open up this, and this gift, which makes a whole big package, it just keeps unfolding. I remember one time for my late wife, Diane, I bought her a mop for Christmas. How many know that was not a winner? On our first anniversary, I bought her a cooker, a granite cooker. And, you know, she didn't think that was romantic either. So I kind of bombed out. But what the deal was on the mop, and this is after being married a while, and I learned some stuff. But on this mop, I had it strapped. I had a diamond necklace. And so she got this mop, and she's looking at it. And right up where the, you know, the brushes and so forth were, I had this other little package kind of wrapped in there. And as she opened up, she found her diamond necklace. That's kind of the way salvation is. When you first open it up, you can say, well, you know, okay, this, but then you say, whoa, this, and whoa, this, and whoa, this. And so that's what we're doing today. So if I have an incorruptible inheritance reserved for me, then I am kept by the power of God. If I'm kept forever by the power of God, then full salvation will be revealed to me in the last time. That's what 1 Peter 1, 5 says. The best is yet to come, guys. It's not fully revealed. And it's so easy. I don't know about you, but is it hard for you to go from the holidays back into the regular schedule? Do you find maybe you take a vacation or something, and you come back to the routine, and boy, you just look at weather, trees, and grass, and roads, and people, and job, and housework, and all that, and you say, boy, I don't really feel this salvation. No. Because it's not going to be revealed totally until we finally see it in the last time. So if my full salvation will be revealed in the last time, then I am now His work of art. I'd like for you to think about this. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Listen, let me share it with you. For we are His workmanship. So put your name in there. Josh, I'll put your name in there. Josh Freed, I see you back there. Josh is His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained for Josh, that he should walk in them. I could do the same thing for Joe. I could do the same thing for Kim. I could do the same thing for Deanna. I could do the same thing for all of us in here who know Jesus. We are his work of art. He has us on an easel. We are one of a kind. He's doing in us and through us. And you know, last Sunday morning at this very time, Teresa and I were at Grace Community Church, where John MacArthur's the pastor and has been there for 47 years. It's a magnificent church. They have two services, about 5,000. They have an awesome choir. They just have everything that you would think about. They have outreaches galore. And so you're there, and I was sitting in the front row, and I was saying, what I was doing, guys, is selfishly comparing myself with him. Anybody else besides me ever compare yourself with somebody else? You ever do that? How many know that's not a good thing? And this morning, as I was just getting ready for this, I just quoted to myself Ephesians 2:10. Joe, you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. You're put in this easel unto good works, which you, God, have ordained for me. You know, I could be, if I were the pastor of Grace Baptist Church, I wouldn't be able to be the pastor of First Baptist here. You know, John has his stewardship. I have my stewardship. Pastor Andy has his stewardship. Mike has his stewardship. You have your stewardship. Because only you can be you where you are with the things that God has created for you. And the joy of knowing Jesus is knowing that he has created for us a stewardship that's just perfect for us, and we are just perfect for it. There is no need for me to live a life of comparison. And that's all part of the gift of salvation. That I am now his work of art. And if I am now his work of art, then I am no longer dead in trespasses and sins. I'm no longer dead in trespasses and sins. I'm alive unto God, and I have a purpose to live. If I'm alive unto God and no longer dead in trespasses and sins, then I'm raised to walk in newness of life. Every day I can walk in newness of life. And really, believe me, if you'll get up and you'll claim that and say, today I can walk in newness of life, and I'm going to say yes, Lord, to every situation I find myself in. If I'm raised to walk in newness of life, then my old man is crucified with Christ. How many struggle with the old man? Do you struggle with the old man? Is it good news in your salvation to know that I am crucified with Christ? Nevertheless, I live. Knowing this, that my old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin may be destroyed, that henceforth I don't have to serve sin. As a part of the gift of my salvation, I can live a victorious life because the old man is crucified with Christ. If my old man is crucified with Christ, then I'm dead to the law. I love this one. Romans chapter 7 and verse 4. You have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead. That you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. And so you think of a really bad marriage. I can tell you, somebody who tries to live the Christian life by keeping rules, that's a really bad Christian life. Because you just end up in bondage to just feeling like I never do enough. I can never do enough. I can never do enough. Can you rest right now in the fact that you're dead to the law and Jesus has done enough? And you are free then to marry Jesus, who's absolutely the best husband you could ever imagine. And in being married to Jesus, then you can bear fruit to God. I love the fact that my whole Christian life is wrapped up, not in keeping rules, but in relating to Jesus. I often want to ask people who walk away from the Lord and do debaucherous things, what was wrong with Jesus? How did he offend you? What is wrong with him? If I can bear fruit to God, then I can bring glory to God. That's a good thing. And this year, I'm going to work really hard in my personal life just saying, I want to do everything I do to bring glory to God, that we might bear much fruit. Therefore, my Father is glorified that we bear much fruit. If I can bring glory to God, then I'm a son of God, because that's what God's after, to bring many sons to glory. And as many as believe him, to them gave he the authority to become the sons of God. If I'm a son of God, I can be adopted by God. You know what the difference is in adoption? How many have adopted children in here? Can I see your hand? You've adopted children. We've adopted children in our family. When you are adopted into God's family, guess what that means? That means that you are put in the family with all the adult privileges. Do you know that I have a picture in my study of little Eliza Wilderman that was being baptized up here, her little face, Pastor Andy was baptizing her. Do you know little Eliza has all the same privileges of the Christian life that I do? A guy that's been saved for 51 years. And so why is that true? It's because God takes us out and takes us out of the bondage we were in and puts us into his family with the full privileges. He adopts us in. And that's a part of our salvation. So if I'm adopted by son, then God sent his son's spirit into my heart by which I can say, Father, I can call him Father because I have his spirit living in me. And because I have God's spirit in my heart, then I can call God my Father. I can actually say to God, you are my Father, and I don't have the spirit of fear anymore, but I can say, you are my Father. And if I can call God Father, then I'm no longer a slave, but a son. And if I'm no longer a slave, but a son, then I'm a God's heir, and I'm a joint heir with Jesus. Listen to this. This sounds too good to be true. But do you know that everything that Jesus is going to receive, you're going to receive because you're a joint heir with Jesus. And that's an amazing thing talking about our inheritance. If I am God's heir and a joint heir with Jesus, then I have the mind of Christ. This is the one that blows my mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16 actually says, we have the mind of Christ. You know, in ourselves, we're not able to see spiritual things. But with the mind of Christ, through the Word of God, we're able to understand spiritual things because God actually gives us the mind of His Son by the Holy Spirit. If I have the mind of Christ, I can understand spiritual things. That's why some of us have a hard time understanding the Bible because we don't have the Holy Spirit and we don't have the mind of Christ to do that. I remember when I came to know the Lord, the Bible opened up to me. I began to understand it. And that may be one of the reasons why some of us really don't understand the Bible, because we haven't believed in Jesus and we don't have His Spirit. We're almost done here. If I can understand spiritual things, then I can fellowship with God and God's people. It's so amazing to me that I was getting on an elevator at Carl Hospital the other day, going to the parking garage, and there were two men there, and those two men were talking about the Bible. And one guy said, I've read the Bible through 38 times. And the other man was responding to him. We got on and we didn't know each other's names. We knew nothing about it. But while we were on the elevator together, we immediately connected about spiritual things and talked about the condition of man and the salvation of Jesus. Total strangers coming because we could have fellowship with one another because we had the Spirit of God. And you know, that's a part of the gift of salvation as it unfolds. And if I can have fellowship with God and God's people, then my joy can be full. John said, these things have I written unto you that your joy might be full. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Those were 27 things. And when we come to, I just quit. And you can imagine why I quit. Because probably by now you're glazed over. And I said, I know this audience is going to be glazed over by the time I run through these. That's why we wrote it in a booklet, and you can have it. And here's a key. You can cover one of those every 2 weeks, and it'll take you through all of 2017. Aren't you glad I didn't do 52 of them? So here's the ongoing conclusion. Fullness of joy now. Fullness of joy then. This is truly an unspeakable gift. And all God's people said, it is. You'll have to take those things and process them. So our praise to the Lord is this. God, we are most satisfied with you. Are you satisfied with God? Because those who are satisfied with God are the ones who glorify Him in their lives. Now, as we close this message, look right at me for just 3 minutes. Know you're glazed over, but here's what I want to ask you. If you put all of that there with a backdrop of this, compare it to the alternative. All these rich things which are almost imaginable to get a hold of. Think about this. Born in sin, separated from God. Live in sin, separated from God, as good as it gets. Still living separated from God. Die in sin, separated from God. How many know we'd have a totally different feeling about Sharon Huxford's death if she did not know Jesus? How many know that's true? So born in sin, separated from God. Live in sin, separated from God. Die in sin, separated from God. Live in eternity in hell, separated from God. All because we didn't receive the gift. And He shall save His people from their sins. That's the point, family. When you receive Jesus, you get it all. It's all yours by grace. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time that we could come and just go through these. And you know, as I prepared this, I just stopped because there's so much more. And from Genesis to Revelation, and we could connect with principles and truths and scripture and verses and statements of salvation that were prophesied in the Old Testament all the way up through and into the New Testament, all the prophecies that were fulfilled, all the way down to where we come to the end of Revelation, even so come Lord Jesus. And from beginning to end, the hero of this story is Jesus. From beginning to end, the story is about God's grace through Jesus. And Lord, it just continues like a snowflake to connect. And I pray that You will embed it on our hearts that no matter how difficult life may become, I am going to go deeper and draw closer to Jesus. We are going to fight for our first love, to know Him and realize all that we have in Him. I pray for this entire church family that we will know that in You, Jesus, dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in You, that we'll look nowhere else, to no one else, for any other reason. I pray that kids will be satisfied and joyful in Jesus, because I'm believing that that's the thing that will keep us away from the deception of the world. Bless, I pray, even now as we partake of the Lord's Supper, to remember these things. In Jesus' name, amen. This little booklet will be given to you as you leave. There will be men at the door who will hand those to you as you go, so you feel free to help yourself and use them to encourage yourself in the Lord throughout the year. Let's stand and just stretch as our men come down to serve us the Lord's Supper.